And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa. 10 things that you need to know to get you set for the Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. And here's what's coming up over the next hour for you. We're going to sit down and talk with Giants head coach Tom Coughlin as the coach goes to the coach's tape. You don't want to miss that. We gave a camera to Giants defensive back Prince Amukamara. He went on a trip to Africa. We'll tell you about that, and Prince will join us here in studio. You know, Andy Reid has had many battles against the New York Giants as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now he's in Kansas City. We'll talk about Coach Reid and his showdown against the New York Giants. Plus, Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy, and you don't want to miss our keys to the game. All right, let's get this thing started. I want to welcome in my co-host, as always, Pro Football Hall of Famer Harry Carson joins us here in the studio. Two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks. I got a couple linebackers, and I need some protection, and that's with former Giant offensive lineman Roman Oben. All right, guys, it is time for the segment in the show that we call No Huddle. Kind of a warm-up. Let's get a fast-paced start here. So we put 25 seconds on the clock, and Harry, we start with you. Can you put into words the 2013 New York Giants?
No. I need more than 25 seconds. You know, first week, Dallas, mistakes, correctable. Second week, Eli's going up against Peyton. But last week, you know, it dumbfounded me because I had no words to express what I was seeing on the football field. I mean, players were on the field, but they were not playing Giant football. So I'm really dumbfounded. And for all of you fans who've been asking me what's wrong with the team, quite frankly, I don't know.
Oh, and he gets in under the horn. A Hall of Famer again. It's not often Harry's speechless about a football team, but he is about this one. All right, Carl Banks, 25 seconds on the clock for you. What does this team need to do to get better?
Well, it's been the same message for me from week one to now. And that's taking care of the little things, doing the little things up front at the line of scrimmage, little extra blocks, cutoff blocks, even on the defensive side of the ball. It all starts up front. There's no disputing the talent is on this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They can put up a lot of yards, a lot of points, but they can never get to the big plays unless they do the little things.
Oh, thanks. You're over by just a hair.
That's okay.
Later on in the program, Carl's going to have strategy a little bit later on in the show, go to the coach's tape. All right, Roman, we put 25 seconds on the clock for you, my friend. This football team, what's their mindset right now?
Well, first of all, I mean, this week I've heard a lot about the Giants are 0-3 for the first time since 96, which was my rookie year.
And You're the problem.
Maybe I am the problem, but I remember that time. We didn't have the quarterback. We didn't have the weapons on the outside. We didn't have the leadership on the team, but you know, what they have to do going forward is make up their mind and say, our mindset is going to be, let's take care of the little things. Let's do whatever it takes to play Giants football, to do things right. We don't want to be the teams at the bottom of the league that are 0-3 now.
Listen, you got us off to a penalty on the first snap of the
game. That's not good. First
you took up a couple of his seconds.
I did. All right. You know what?
It was offsetting
penalties. All right, you got me on that one.
There is no penalty.
All right, time for item number one, and that, of course, is New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin, who was very positive at the beginning part of this week, getting ready for this game, having that mindset. We had a chance to sit down with the head coach of the New York Giants, talking about some of the positives from last week's game that can carry over into this week's game, starting with second-year running back David Wilson. You maintained from week one, in order for us to be successful, we need David Wilson. And although the game was out of reach at this point, he played as if it was a 0-0 game. We're going to show one of his runs here.
He played very hard. He really did, and I was very pleased with that. He had the unfortunate, you know, penalty early in the ball game, which upset me. But there's no question, and he's up and down the sideline pretty much the whole ball game, you know, encouraging and striving to have everybody be at their best. And this is an 18-yard run by David Wilson here. We're trying to trap. People are kind of running out of there. So Pugh gets in position to hold the linebacker off. Booth is up on the linebacker straight up. And then David does break some tackles, and he does run with power. He does have the ball well secured. And it is an 18-yard gain on the three wides run right up the middle of the field.
And he had a few runs in the game, Coach, where he made quite a bit of yardage after contact. Is that one of the things that is...
That was good to see, because we had talked about that previously, about breaking arm tackles and, you know, showing some power And David certainly did do that.
All right, one of the hallmarks of your team, which has always been when adversity is in the face of the team, your team goes back to work. Talk about sort of the mental approach that you take with a team when you're trying to build them back up.
You know, our point has always been, let's go back to work. Let's be honest and open about the areas that we have to be concerned with. But our resiliency in that first ball game was strong. We were giving our team a lot of credit for that. And, you know, battling back where we were and having had a chance, we thought, to win the game, we thought we could build on that. Didn't play quite as well the next week against Denver, and then this week not playing anywhere near where we should have played in a very important football game. So, you know, we have to continuously go back to square one to talk about exactly where we're coming from. Pride is a huge factor. Giving great effort is another huge factor. Mental toughness, being able to withstand the adversity which comes from the outside and staying focused, not letting people get in your head. So these things all come to bear at a time like this.
And just on a side note here, Coach, you've had so many great battles with Andy Reid as head coach of the Giants, and you know, you've each gotten the best of each other at different. Is it going to be weird to see him wearing red?
In a way, but I've seen enough of him on film to notice him there.
All right, best of luck this week. That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin joining us here on the program. All right, guys. First of all, I think it's encouraging to see David Wilson all fired up like that.
That's something that I really love, to see an offensive player, especially a running back. And David has not had the best year so far with a couple of fumbles. But to be emotional as he has been, you know, you really like to see that. Because football is a very emotional sport. You got to have emotion. You got to have passion. And he's exhibiting that out on the football field. And, you know, he's not too young to do that with this bunch of guys on the offensive side of football.
And Roman, this team's got to get a running game. They're last in the NFL. Right. This is the first time in franchise history that they have three straight games with less than 60 yards in each of the games. They signed John Connor, right, who was with the Jets in Cincinnati. Talk about what can he give something to this running game?
Well, I think John Connor represents a time where, you know, fullbacks were relevant in the National Football League, not hybrid pass catching, route running fullback, but fullbacks. And that physicality is what is desperately needed on this team. And you know, going back to him, the combination of him and David Wilson, it's just about getting a hat on a hat. We're not asking to blow guys off the ball, but get a hat on a hat, and you have capable backs that can get the job done.
Well said by Roman. It's just, you know, getting the guys that can lead the charge. You got a back who can make guys miss, make contact, and he'll do the rest.
All right, what's the mindset of this football team at 0-3 going to Kansas City? When we come back, we sent Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. We'll tell you about it as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Their confidence is good. I think guys are excited and looking forward to changing things. I mean, you know, we feel we have a great opportunity to change things around and get some momentum and hopefully, you know, we can't change the start of the season, but we can, start right now and change the ending. And that's Giants quarterback Eli Manning as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10. Uncharted waters for Eli, never starting his career off 0-3 to start a season. Eli 2-0 lifetime against the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, time to put item number 2 up on the board. And that means we bring in our intrepid reporter, the one, the only, Paul Dottino, who ventured into the Giants locker room. Paul?
Yeah, you know, Bob, there's a lot of talk about this very talented Chiefs defense. They got so many good players, so many good Pro Bowlers on that unit. And Bob Sutton, the former Army coach and longtime Jets assistant, who Tom Coughlin knows very well, is a master at really using these guys in a mix-and-match kind of fashion. And it's not just a base 3-4 that he's using. He uses a lot of nickel and dime packages. In fact, he's got one formation that's actually a 2-3-6.
They just fly around. They got a bunch of athletic guys out there that like to fly around and make some plays, and they're very opportunistic. They get there at the right times. They're very cerebral in where they attack the ball and where they see the balls going. So we just got to be disciplined in our route running and disciplined in our way we hold on to the football, and maybe we can make some things happen.
I don't think it's difficult. I think we just got to get a good look at it in practice. You know, have the scout team give us a good look in practice, and then be prepared for it and be ready for whatever outcome comes in the game.
Now, strong safety Eric Berry is the real key to their different looks. What I'm told is that he'll line up anywhere, and he's a heavy blitz machine as well. So, guys, I've got to ask you about pre-snap reads. I got to feel that's very, very important.
Well, one of the keys is the pre-snap read. But if you got a safety at the line of scrimmage a lot and he's blitzing a lot, it's not because he's a good blitzer. It's because he's not that good in coverage. And they want to keep – they want that. It's a way to make him effective while hiding him. What you want to do, and Eli's been pretty good at it, was taking the clock down, making them declare what their coverages are going to be.
You've got to say 50 is going to be the mic no matter what. 20, so you've got to have certain rules that come into play. So no matter what they do or what they line up, you're still able to dictate somewhat what you can do offensively and then have some things backside to build off of those things.
And Carl, let me ask you this, and I'll ask both of you guys this, going against this Chiefs defense. The Giants had so many problems last week, but so everyone says just three-step drop, get the ball out. You can't just do that. I mean, at some point, you got to protect and run your offense too, right?
Well, yeah, their offense should incorporate a combination of things that get the ball to the back in space, down the field, because you're cheating yourself if you don't want to go down the field with the way this quarterback can throw and these receivers can get open. Offensive line is the key for any success, both run and pass.
All right, let's put item number three up on the board. Item number three means Paul Dottino's back in the Giants locker room, going to the other side of the ball.
Yeah, that's right, Bob. And former 49ers quarterback Alex Smith is running the show for the Chiefs. A very conservative attack. He's not taking many chances. No picks in over 100 attempts this year. And one of the reasons why is there's so much short stuff coming out of his hands. As a matter of fact, he's only thrown the ball downfield 20 or more yards four times.
We just have to play sound football. We know that he's one of those quarterbacks that don't turn over the ball. He does a lot of check downs, and he tries to keep his team on the field as long as he can without making those mistakes. So it's our job to just play sound football and make sure we play great be great technicians out there.
You can look at me on the field, man. You can tell I'm not my regular self. So like I said, there's no excuses for that. You know, I'm on the field. You know, can't complain about it. You know, I got to do whatever it takes to help my team win. And you know, I'll be out there again this week. You know, I'll be starting, and you know, I'm pretty sure all the guys is behind me or whatever. And it's a win game. We have to win our games, and you know, so far we haven't been doing it.
Now, the Giants have only three sacks so far, tied with Pittsburgh for the fewest in the NFL. The interesting thing, though, Roman and Carl, and I don't understand this necessarily, for a guy who gets rid of the ball so quickly and throws so much short stuff, why has Alex Smith been sacked 10 times so far?
Because he holds on to the ball, and when you challenge him to go down the field, if he's reluctant to do that, he'll try to wait something out underneath. Now, I've got a pretty good tight end, and Jamaal Charles is a guy who can catch, run, and they'll spot the ball 8 yards later, 10 yards later. So he has the confidence in the high percentage stuff, maybe not so much in the lower percentage place.
Yeah, and then being, you know, being criticized for being the safe quarterback and what he was in San Francisco, it's sometimes a sack is better than an interception or an incomplete pass, and sometimes he gets caught in that little rut, and that's why, you know, he's been sacked as much as he has.
And keep a look at, you go back to the second game against the Denver Broncos, there were a lot of short passes that kept the ball moving down the field. So that's not a bad formula to have against a good pass rush.
And you know, Bob, watch right tackle Eric Fisher, first round pick. I understand he's given up three of those sacks so far this year.
Yeah, and the Giants did get four sacks of Alex Smith last year when he was playing with the 49ers, and they picked him off three times in that Giants victory. Paul, good stuff as always here on First and 10.
Good to see you guys.
All right, when we come back here on the program, we're going to be joined by the Prince. Yes, we're going to have a Prince in the studio. Prince Amukamara is going to join us as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. And let's take a look at the airings of Giants First and 10 each and every week. If you miss it when it first airs on Fridays, we got it for you all weekend long. Your Giants home, MSG, and Giants First and 10. Back with Prince after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Time for item number four, which is our player spotlight. Well, we know Prince Amukamara can cover players on the field, but he can also do a nice job of covering events. In the offseason, we gave him a camera on his trip to Africa.
My name is Prince Amukamara. I'm the cornerback for the New York Giants. intercepted by Prince Amukamara, the rookie.
I'm getting ready to take off to Nigeria. The purpose is for my sister's wedding, and I haven't been back in 10 years. So this should be an exciting trip, and thank you guys for following along on this journey.
After an 11-hour cross-continental flight from New York to Africa, Prince found himself in his homeland of Nigeria, where it was time to go visit with family in preparation for the big wedding.
Most of my mom's and dad's original immediate family is in Nigeria. So, I mean, just seeing them and just seeing how they interact with them is just great. And just playing with the kids that live in our village, I think that is pretty awesome.
Ooh, interception!
See the NY shirt, repping.
This is the crib right here. Walk into the crib. It's Pops. Okay.
Hi, NFL players. This is Prince's sister. Yes, I'm the one getting married. I'm the one doing the traditional wedding.
On our way to the wedding, got Big Damo, my boy Edward, my dad's security guard, okay, Osta, the groom.
And then your choice, Sam. How could that be?
What's that? My mom. You see me right here? You know, got the right bow tie for the occasion.
My older sister, Princess, was getting married. And in our culture, you have two weddings. So she had, I think, what they call like an American wedding, like which is like in the church. And then we had a traditional wedding, which is back in our village with all our traditional garb. And that was fun. We have a lot of different rituals or just cultural activities that we do within the wedding. So one of them was my sister would come out and she has like a couple of like dancers dancing out in front of her. And that's like the introduction, like we're bringing out the bride. And I think just the dancing, I think that's just really huge in our culture. There's one called like the money dance. That's just how like they help just get their money for whatever they need. And she was just dancing and everyone was just spraying money on her. The favorite part of the whole trip, just seeing people that you haven't seen in over a decade, is just great.
Well, Prince now joins us here in studio, and that looked like a lot of fun. I mean, how did it feel like chronicling it with the camera?
It was hard at times. I mean, just trying to be a part of the whole festivities and trying to catch it all at the same time. But I multitasked pretty well.
Yeah, and you know, it looked like you had a great time and your sister had a great wedding. It must have been fun to go back to Nigeria and do that.
It was great to go back. Last time I was back was 10 to 12 years ago, so it was pretty overwhelming. Everyone wanted to see me, and everyone back there thinks that I'm some big star, so it was pretty overwhelming, but it was worth the trip.
All right, listen, this team got a trip to Kansas City coming up this weekend. How do you guys get this thing righted?
Man, we just got to, I mean, all we can focus on is just our attitude and effort. And I mean, the tone this week was to turn it around this week and never give up. So our job is just to continue to stay at it.
So as you guys prepare for the game, tell us a little bit about what the Kansas City Chiefs receivers are like.
They pose a huge threat, a huge challenge. Number 82 and number 17 are their go-to guys, and their running back. Their running back is leading their team in reception. So our linebackers have their job cut out for us and cut out for them, and so does the DBs.
With Andy Reid and what he did in Philadelphia, I mean, are there some similarities just in theme or system and what he's doing now in Kansas City offensively?
A little bit, and I think there's some San Francisco similarities there too, just to cater to the quarterback, Alex Smith. So I think it's a little bit of a mixture of both.
Alex Smith is he's a guy who's a very mobile quarterback, but does he pose a threat as a run-to-pass guy or a run-to-run guy?
That's a great question. I'd say a run-to-pass. I think a lot of defenses do sleep on his athletic ability as a quarterback, but he does like to scramble, and I mean, our guys up front are going to have to try to contain him.
You know, coming into the season, you had a great camp. You were injured a little bit early in your career. You know, now in your third year, I mean, talk about your maturation just as a cornerback in the National Football League.
I think just having guys like Terrell Thomas and Corey Webster and now Aaron Ross back, I think that's been just huge for me and just growing as a player, not just on the field but off the field, and just seeing what it looks like to take care of myself as a veteran. And that's just been really helping me out a lot, and just getting my confidence up just from being injured. I think all that has been helping me a lot.
Prince, last year when you guys won in San Francisco, you guys picked off Alex Smith three times. How much do you take from that as far as tendencies and things that you look at?
I think it gives our defense great confidence because we were successful with him last year, but he's on a whole different team, whole different coaching scheme, and just with different role players. So, but he's still the same quarterback, very precise, and doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They have zero turnovers on the season, so we just got to try to force him into making one.
All right, do you want to work our camera again somewhere down the line here during the season?
I wouldn't mind it at all.
All right, good. Well, maybe on the way to the Super Bowl.
For sure.
How's that? All right, that's Prince Amukamara joining us here on the program as we continue here on Giants First and 10. When we come back, we're going to bring you the Blitz. You don't want to miss that. And let's take a look at some of the programming here on MSG of New York Giants football. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. It is time for the Blitz, item number 5 to get you ready. And with that said, we welcome in Anita Marks, who's got some questions for us. Anita?
We do. Actually, this is one of my favorite segments of the show. 7 undefeated teams currently in the NFL, as we know Kansas City is one of them. The others, Chicago, Denver, Miami, and New Orleans, who, by the way, face off against each other on Monday Night Football this week, New England, and Seattle. So with that being said, of the undefeated teams, who goes 4-0? Can we have a minute on the clock? Discuss, gentlemen.
All right, well, I guess if you're sitting in the Giants locker room, you certainly hope it's not going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So you can eliminate that, check that box. And I think the New England Patriots for one more week will stay undefeated.
Really? Yeah. They win in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta's really banged up. They have no Croy Bierman. Weatherspoon's out. They got issues on the offensive line. They're moving people around. Asante Samuel's limited.
Yeah.
So I could see New England going in there.
And they know how to win ugly games.
Denver is not losing this week.
I think Denver goes on a streak this week and beyond. So I don't think Denver's going anywhere.
No love for Seattle.
Seattle struggles on the road.
I mean, one team.
Okay.
Seattle barely beat Carolina. In Carolina, they got to go to Houston. They're a better team. Denver, though, put it in the books, folks. They ain't losing at home to that Philadelphia defense.
Take that to the bank, Bob Papa.
Boom.
All right, here we go. Number 2, Kansas City's Arrowhead is known as one of the most difficult venues to play in the NFL. There are some others: Quest Field, Seattle; Soldier Field in Chicago; the Metrodome in Minnesota. A minute on the clock. Where is the most difficult venue to play?
Today, I think it's probably Seattle. There was a time where, and I can tell you in my experience as a player, the only place I was physically and mentally exasperated from the noise, it was in Kansas. I've never seen it ever again. Kansas City, when they get it going, I don't know if they can still do it like that, but it was good.
Yeah, 100% Kansas City. I mean, as a left tackle, you're going against, you know, Derek Thomas or even Jared Allen. He was there my last few years. Kansas City, those fans are right on top of you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a college environment. Kansas City is very, very tough to play in.
I'm going to vote for New Orleans, because that's an old stadium that's got a lot of cement in it.
Right.
It's noisy. It's compacted. And when they get that fast break offense going and they start scoring some points, that crowd gets pretty fired.
They just want to sing that a really cool song after every touchdown. I don't know
what it is.
Yeah. All I know is it's who dat.
Yeah.
Who dat, right?
Who dat? I'm going to say. All right.
Here we go.
You guys set me up to go.
Here we go. One more. Since the 1970 merger, a few head coaches have faced off against each other as much as Tom Coughlin and Andy Reid. Let's go way back. Bill Parcells and Joe Gibbs, they met 23 times. What made that coaching rivalry so spectacular? A minute on the clock. Go.
So funny you should say that. I was just talking to Pepper Johnson yesterday. It was both guys were men, and they wouldn't blink. So Joe Gibbs would go for it 4 times from the goal line. Not one pass. He's going to run it. And if you stop him, he's coming back in the same situation saying, "You won't do it again. I dare you."
Yeah, I mean, I look at those teams. I mean, between 83 and 91, the Giants and the Redskins won five of those Super Bowls. So home field advantage, divisional champs, I mean, in the playoffs, all that was predicated on those two battles. So those are some good matchups.
And when you think about the Philadelphia Eagles have been perennial winners in the NFC East.
I got nothing to add. He played in it, and he grew up a Redskin fan watching it, so I'm good.
So that's been your blitz.
It's just great.
It's a good time, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anita. Good stuff as always. We come back, speaking of Andy Reid, we're going to talk about the Kansas City head coach, and Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG.
They're well coached, and we know they have good football players, and so it's important that we get ourselves right and make sure that we're ready to play against this football team.
And that's Big Red, Andy Reid, in his first year in Kansas City with the Chiefs, getting set to take on the Giants. And guys, Andy Reid, 15-13 in the regular season against the Giants, 2-1 in the postseason. Who has the edge this week? Andy Reid knowing the Giants, Tom Coughlin knowing Andy Reid and Bob Sutton?
Well, I think they both know each other. It just comes down to the personnel. Andy knows the Giants' personnel. The Giants know Andy's system. Now, he's doing a few things differently. He has a fullback in his backfield now, but they'll know some of the things and the tendencies of how Andy likes to call a game.
What about this rivalry between Coughlin and Andy Reid? Reid, 10 wins to 9. He beat him a couple times in the playoffs.
Yeah, I really wouldn't say too much about that. I mean, it was when he was with Philadelphia. Obviously, he's now with Kansas City. It's a different, altogether different situation. And, you know, Andy Reid inherited about 5 or 6 Pro Bowl players. So that gives him the advantage. And also, knowing Tom Coughlin, knowing the Giants system, having played against the Giants so many times, it gives Andy Reid, in my opinion, the advantage over the Giants.
Roman, what has made Andy Reid such a successful coach, in your opinion? I mean, he won 6 division titles,
right.
Took his team to 5 conference championship games. I know he was 1-4 and he didn't win the Super Bowl. But this is a guy that had 9 postseason appearances. He won a lot of games in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid took that West Coast system that he learned from, you know, Mike Holmgren via Bill Walsh, and he really customized it and made it successful in Philadelphia. And he traditionally had a lot of undersized guys back then. I mean, what he's got in Kansas City, you got stout, physical guys. I mean, he's never had a running back like Jamal Charles. I mean, Westbrook and the guys he had in Philly, I mean, we're always undersized kind of dink and duck backs. But he's got a physical team now with that system that should make him successful.
And, Carl, you know, he's done a great job with quarterbacks. He groomed Donovan McNabb into being a Pro Bowl player. Mm-hmm. When he would get hurt, they'd put in A.J. Feely, and they'd have success. Jeff Garcia comes in. They have success. He had success with Michael Vick when Michael Vick first got there and everything in between.
Jeff Garcia?
Yeah.
I think it's because he has a way of adjusting his system to the skill set of each quarterback. Each quarterback knows what's expected, but he'll adjust it so that it's not overbearing on that player's abilities.
All right. It is time to put up item number 7, which is strategy. The X's and O's. Carl Banks spends all week in his little film lab breaking it down for you. Here are the keys in this game from a strategy standpoint with Carl Banks.
All right, Bob, one of the keys to success against the Kansas City Chiefs is not telegraphing to the defense. You'll see they're very disciplined with their linebackers here on the outside. Let's take a look here on a 3-step drop. Keep an eye on this linebacker, Derek Johnson. I'll play it. Stares it down. He's there before the ball leaves the quarterback's hands. So I'll bring it back again, and I'll show you how disciplined they are. Derek Johnson, his eyes are on the quarterback for a 3-step drop. Keep an eye on him. Ball is snapped. He reads quick set. He knows exactly where the quarterback's going. He's here before the ball is even released. Cannot telegraph even on short plays with this defense. Now, the keys here to the Kansas City offense is obviously Alex Smith, their quarterback. He has 0 turnovers on the year, but he does not take a lot of chances down the field. So he will wait out a coverage underneath. And you'll see here, he wants his tight end all the way. and he'll wait for it to happen. Let's take a look. Tight end's covered here. There he is covered. Alex Smith still holding the ball. Tight end uncovers. It gets delivered. So he'll wait and take the high percentage throws. Alex Smith, he likes Jamaal Charles. He's their most targeted receiver, and he's a running back. Wants to get him in space so that he can run the football after he catches it. 5-yard throw, 7-yard run. So, again, linebacker play is very important underneath. No yards after catch. You've got to make the tackle. Here it is again. Slow down. Watch the missed tackle here. When that ball comes out, you've got to make the tackle. Limit it to a 5-yard gain, not a 12.
And strategy brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. When we come back on the program, I'm going to give you our Giants Online segment. Pat Hanlon will join me along with Tom Rock of Newsday and Art Stapleton of The Record as we get you set for the Giants and Chiefs here on Giants First and 10 on MSG.
I think you just keep fighting. You keep going out there and working hard. I think all those things work out in the end. If you go out there and you're physical, you get on your guy, and everyone, you know, all those five guys are gelling. I think it'll work itself out.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Justin Pugh of the Giants talking about trying to get that running game going. Time for our online segment. I welcome in the Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon.
Justin Pugh has the misfortune during the course of a game to have me shouting in his ear the whole game, exhorting the defense on. Mm-hmm. The one thing, the struggles that we had last week along the offensive line and also the learning curve of a rookie, I love that kid's demeanor when he comes off the field. Doesn't hang his head, goes right back to work.
And then he wants to punch you for screaming in his ear the whole time.
No, I don't think he's paying attention to me. Chris Snee's the one that wants to punch me.
All right, let's go around the room. Joining us from Newsday is Tom Rock. Tom, you know this Giant team is at a crossroads early.
It's going to be tough. You know, they didn't show much on film last week, 38-0, to show any silver linings that they're going to turn this around real quick. So now you're going to Kansas City. It's a difficult road to hoe.
Art Stapleton of The Record joins us as well. Are you buying what the rookie's selling?
In terms of Justin Pugh, I think what he's talking about getting the running game going, I think they just got to get their act together up front, whether it's the running game and the passing game. You know, they haven't been able to run the ball well, but, you know, the passing game was supposed to be the one element that they didn't have a problem in, and that didn't get going either against Carolina. And you thought Carolina could get after the passer. Kansas City is going to present even more of a problem.
All right, let's put item 8 up on the board. We're going to talk about the Giants and their offensive line. And, Pat, we'll start with you. They're dealing with some injuries here that they got to try to work through.
Yeah, and the immediate conclusion is there's no depth on the offensive line. I would argue that there's no proven depth on the offensive line. There are guys like Cordell and Brewer who have had chances in the preseason, at the start of the regular season. They're, as I just said about Pugh, they're going to be growing pains for these young guys. They got to do it, though. Nobody else is going to walk in the door off the street and say, hey, and save the day. These young guys have got to step up and perform.
It's a scary situation when you have a rookie starting at right tackle and he's going to have the third most career starts going into this game on the offensive
line.
Well,
especially when you talk about the Giants' offensive line, which it wasn't that long ago that the same five guys started 38 straight games.
It's continuity. And, you know, you talk about which way they're going to go. I mean, they have different combinations that they can go with. What's frightening is that, you know, Jim Cordell talked a lot in the preseason when he got his first chance against the Jets, that their defensive front, they were causing a lot of communication issues with guys who aren't used to being out on the field together. Now continuity again going into a defense like Kansas City that has Bob Sutton, former Jets coach, calling all the plays, very similar to what the Jets did to the Giants in the preseason. You know, maybe the Giants learned something from that in that game.
Justin said he's going to go back to the Jets film from that preseason game and see how they communicated and how they worked out among those multiple fronts. So, you know, they didn't do too well in that game. Hopefully they can learn their lessons here and move forward.
Yeah, but the difference is that was a home game. This is Arrowhead, the 12th man. Kansas City leads the NFL with 15 sacks.
Forget about continuity. We're not going to get continuity in a week. What I want is what Pew just talked about, is going out and fighting every play and establishing a physical presence. You do that, we'll worry about continuity later.
Well, I thought tempo was a problem against Carolina, too. It seemed like once they got knocked back, they never really got into a rhythm. They didn't allow Eli to kind of change the rhythm and momentum of this offense. And, you know, maybe a little bit more no huddle, maybe a little bit more, you know, let's get going, guys. You know, Pew said fight, pride, tempo earlier this week. It was the tempo that also let them down against Carolina.
And for 3 years, we've been hearing from the defensive side of the ball here at the Giants why they can't get sacks, because the quarterback's getting it out too fast and they're going max protect and all these things. The Giants didn't seem to do any of that against Carolina, didn't seem to adjust to that maybe this week.
All right, we got to put item number 9 up as part of our discussion for the Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's talk about the physicality of this football team. And defensively, they do some good things as far as stopping the run, but they get increased at the start of third quarters. But where's the pass rush?
Yeah, it hasn't been there. And this is a team that they can get sacks against, but last week was too. You know, we saw them, Mario Williams tore them apart.
Carolina the week
against
before.
Carolina the week before with Buffalo. And then all of a sudden, Matthias Kiwanuka has a sack early and you say, okay, this is going to get going here. It just evaporates. I don't know where it is. You know, Jason Pierre-Paul, obviously he's coming off the back surgery. He's not himself. Kiwanuka, Tuck is not playing, not getting to the quarterback. They're not even getting hits on these guys.
And it was interesting because I think that second drive for Carolina, after the first drive, Kiwanuka gets the big sack and you think, okay, here we go. And Carolina kind of punched back. They started a little bit with the read option, and the Giants haven't seen that yet this year. We were told in all offseason, we've prepared, we've coached, we've studied, but it was really more for the Redskins and the Eagles. And, you know, that running game, once that running game got going, they really had to sit back now, be a little bit more conservative and not as aggressive as they'd like to be against Cam Newton, which is what they did last year and dominated.
Final word, Hanlon.
JPP has the potential, clearly, to be the most disruptive force. And as he said, if you look at the tape, he's not himself yet. Every week, he's getting closer to being himself. And all the pass rushers we just talked about have demonstrated in the past that they're more than capable of doing it. Now let's do it. Let's go.
All right. We're out of time.
You agree, Tommy?
I agree.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tom. Art, we appreciate you guys stopping by and taking part in the conversation. We'll see you again next week there, Senor Hanlon.
Bottle service.
Yeah, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, the keys to the game as we continue with Giants first and 10 here on MSG.
It's all about pride. Are you ready?
Dumbfounded me because I had no words to express what I was seeing on the football field.
Mental toughness, being able to withstand the adversity which comes from the outside and staying focused, not letting people get in your head.
What's up, Prince?
Let's do it.
Tom? Well, I'm going to say,
All right, here
man,
we go.
You guys set me up to go. And that's our Geico recap, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com. All right, it's time for item number 10 here in the program, the grand finale, if you will. It is the keys to the game. And for the New York Giants, Harry, your keys in this game.
Plain and simple, this team has to show up, play with passion, and play with giant pride. I mean, that's what it is. They have to play like they're Giants. They didn't show up last week, and they did not certainly play like Giants.
Carl Banks, your key to this game.
Well, one thing I learned from Harry, that there's a few things you can do when you play, having pride, playing with passion, but the other one is execution, because those two, without execution, means that you're a hot mess and you're running all over the place and not making the plays you should make.
Roman, your key for this football team.
And we talked about this a little bit last week at the end with you. I mean, start fast. I mean, find a way to create some type of momentum to get this offense some confidence by just having some good positive plays, touchdown, field goal, whatever. But have some confidence, start fast, quiet down that Kansas City crowd.
You know, guys, we hear about pride and playing with passion. But that could be wasting energy too, can it? Like, I mean, you could do all that stuff and come out like a house on fire, but if you don't do the smart things, doesn't that wear off after a while?
You have to play smart, but you also have to play with emotion and with passion. That's what football is. It's not just about going out there and going through the motions. You really have to play with passion.
And it's integrated. All those things combined with doing your job. You do your job with passion. You play with pride. And that means you take pride in not making mistakes. That's where that all those things come into play.
Yeah, I mean, and I grew up watching you guys play, you know, when I was younger, high school, college, and you guys love to play football. And I know the rules are different and tackling, but that affects everybody in the league. You still got to go out there and want to do your job just for the guy that plays next to you or the guy on the other sideline. We didn't want to punt the ball and have to look at Jesse Armstead rolling their eyes because we couldn't stay on the field. I mean, there was some pride in that.
What about the other thing, too, here, guys, as far as, you know, you want to play with that passion, you want to play with that pride, you want to play smart. Do you also have to guard against trying to do too much? You know, I got to be the guy to make the punt. I'm going to get the pick. I'm going to do that. Where then you wind up getting yourself out of position and you wind up becoming a problem instead of a solution?
I think if you play within the scheme of the defense and you do your job first, I think, and if you give it 100% on every play, I think that will get it accomplished.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a concern because I think we've seen evidence of, you know, four guys that may do it right and the fifth guy doesn't, his guy makes the tackle, and then you go around and it's another guy the next time. So just doing your job, I think, takes care of all of that.
All right, a programming note here as we get you set for the Giants and the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a 1 o'clock kick in Kansas City. Here's our programming on MSG each and every week. Make sure you check us out. This is your exclusive home for the New York Football Giants. Of course, First and 10 debuts every Friday and then runs throughout the weekend. You don't want to miss Giants Chronicles. Then over on My Nine, it's the Giants postgame show for all the reaction. Then we get you set the next week for Giants Rewind, Giants Press Conference Live, and, of course, Giants First and 10 debuts every Friday. So that wraps it up. We hope you are set for the Giants and Chiefs. We gave you 10 things to think about. For Carl Banks, Harry Carson, Roman Oben, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for watching us here on MSG for this edition of Giants First and 10.